Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Oh my gosh, it has been way too long. We have taken like a month off, and frankly, I am itching to get back to recording. On my right, I have Daniel, Dan the Man, Holsinger, the whole shot.
Whole shot.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, everybody. It's a great evening. It's good to be in 2018.
It is. And on my left, I have my trusty sidekick, Dr. Payray. Payman, how are you?
Happy New Year, 2017.
You don't celebrate Christmas, but you did have a Christmas tree in your office.
I celebrate Christmas. Yeah, always.
All right, nice.
Man, I celebrate people. Everything.
I love that.
I celebrate everything.
That's the perk of being Persian. You celebrate it all. Well, good, man. Dude, y'all, I am so excited about 2018. 2017 was the first year of the podcast. Big start. We had more growth, I think, all of us could be, we really could have thought. And 2018 is going to be fun because we have lots of exciting and kind of big goals and big ideas and stuff that we really wouldn't have thought about back in February. So I'm excited about that. A couple brief things. Holsinger and I, we're going to be in Asheville, which by the time this airs, probably in the next weekend at the ASDA District 6 meeting for our students. So if you're going to be around that, check us out. Come say hi. The following, or 2 weekends from that, January, is it 27th? January 27th, 28th?
Yeah, 27th, 28th.
That is Voices of Dentistry. So I hope to see a lot of you at Voices of Dentistry because that's going to be a really fun weekend. We'll be set up live recording, doing a lot of stuff there. So if you're there, please stop by and record with us. We would love to do that. And then we'll be, we got a couple big secrets coming up. We have a big partnership that we're going to be releasing soon. That we're really excited about partnering with, and a couple other events that we're going to be at as we go into the spring. So lots of fun, exciting stuff as far as that goes on the podcast end. So continue to stay tuned. We're also going to, and probably in an episode or two, do a little mailbag because I know we've gotten lots of messages and things. And please keep sending those because really that's what drives the conversation. And as much as we love interviews, we really do love just being able to answer questions and kind of round tabling it. I think that's really what we enjoy the most.
Yeah.
The millennial mailbag.
The millennial mailbag. So shoot us those questions and that sort of thing. But without further ado, I'm very excited about this episode because I think it has a tremendous amount of impact on our age, our group, really. People that are, you know, trying to buy practices, that are graduating on what to do, just all that stuff in regards to how it works with real estate. So I'm going to introduce our guest tonight, Mr. Justin. I don't know your last name. I just know you as Justin.
All good. It's a mouthful. It's Ditkovsky.
Oh, Justin Ditkovsky.
Just go Justin D. Justin D is fine.
The big JD.
JD.
There you go.
Well, that'll work good. And you're coming to us live from Canada?
Yeah, I'm coming to you from Toronto, Canada. Nice and warm Toronto, Canada in the middle of winter.
That's right across from Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yep.
So it's kind of American.
About 3 and a half hours east of Detroit.
All right, cool. Well, sweet. Well, dude, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us what you do? Let's start there.
Sure. I'll keep it relatively simple. So, our firm, Cirrus Consulting Group, we essentially specialize in helping dentists with commercial real estate matters. You know, that obviously includes kind of a wide array of different services, but for the most part, you know, representing tenants in the negotiation or renegotiation of their office lease agreement. Now that includes, you know, we're working with guys starting practices for the first time, people opening a second or third or fourth or fifth plus location. We work with DSOs. We also actually, interestingly, work with a lot of doctors who are kind of nearing the end of their career. And in large part, what we're doing with them is making sure the lease agreement, the real estate part of their business, is aligned with their exit strategy, right? Because for a lot of people, when they sell their practice, they need to go through a process where they transfer the lease agreement from them to the doctor or business or entity buying their practice. And in order for that to happen, you have to go through a formal legal process with the building owner which seems pretty straightforward. But we've seen a number of cases where, you know, landlords will actually leverage control over the transfer of the lease to ask the selling doctor for a percent of proceeds from the sale of the business.
Wow. That's crazy.
So we're essentially in business to fight for the little guy, help dentists, make sure that their leases are properly structured, you know, liabilities are limited. You know, we have a team of attorneys in house, so, you know, we're the preeminent firm when it comes to representing dentists in commercial real estate matters.
Payman, can we pick on you and use you as an example?
Yeah. No, I mean, so that's what
about,
I actually
tell us what happened, what you did. And how
so
you did
this it. Is how actually I did it. There is a firm in Nashville, or I don't know if it's Nashville or it's called Carr Healthcare Realty. C-A-R-R. Now, I had no idea anything. I didn't know anything about them. I sat down with Henry Schein and they introduced me to the people and they said they are specialized to find you guys, doctors and dentists find real estate. So I was like, wow, I didn't even know that such thing existed till I learned about the whole process where they would introduce me to these places and they had already negotiated and here and there. And that's how I started looking with them. And they took me around and around Nashville. I knew I wanted to stay within the city of Nashville. However, I didn't know which part. So I just told them anywhere in Nashville and the suburbs. So they chose a few locations we went and saw. And then from there, just kind of rolled with it. So
I'd like to both of you kind of ask this question, because obviously mine's a little different because I didn't have a lease thing when I bought into my practice. But because the way I see it as an outsider, right, is like, okay, so there's a piece of property for sale and or a lease, and they want to lease you the space for X amount of dollars. It's not that simple, obviously. So go into payment. If you
just the process, first, like
talk
how
talk about a little more about the process of like what you experienced, and then I want you to kind of chime in, Justin or JD, and kind of give us a little bit of like, so did you ask these questions? Did this come up? Did that, you know, and how, just walk us through how a typical kind of lease interaction should go.
Right. So Payman, let me ask you a question. First of all, did you get an attorney involved at any point to help you, or did the agent from Carr kind of lead negotiations on your behalf?
So the way that it happened for me, the property that I really liked, the agent from Carr had already done the negotiations on behalf of two other dentists that were supposed to move into that location. So he said that I've got all the discounts that I could get, all the promotion, all this stuff that I could get. I got them for these two guys, but then those two guys ended up not pursuing that location. And then he came in and said, hey, there's this place if you want it to come, but it's already been negotiated and this is the price. And I was like, well, at that point, I wasn't sure if he's telling me the truth or not. And I told him that. I was like, hey, I'm going to have to hire an attorney first. And then I also went online on Dental Town and I found out there's a guy named George Vale. And I spoke with him because he's a negotiator. It called like, and he's a very nice guy because he showed me so much stuff. I talked to him a few times from Miami and he told me that, oh my gosh, you got to do this. Like you got to start from scratch. And then he kind of, told me so many little things that did matter that I didn't know. And he brought them up to me. I was like, oh my God, what if I had just signed this stuff? So he was really the main guy, which I didn't even pay him, because at the end of the time, he's like, well, I'm not really going to save you any money because he's already negotiated a lot of that stuff. But make sure to bring up these things to your attorney, because he doesn't do the attorney thing. But yes, I did hire an attorney, and there was I was blessed because somebody actually showed me, hey, you got to make sure, because if it wasn't for him, I would have signed anything. I mean, it's just like, okay.
100%. And you know what, Payman? The reason I'm asking is that's the experience that a lot of people have starting a practice, right? Like you're out of school. They're, you know, the dental programs pay very little, if any, attention at all to kind of the business side of dentistry, right? Sure. When you go through a number of years.
Especially something like that, because that's getting even outside. I mean, that's like a
100%
extracurricular thing. You don't even think about
100%, right? Like it's 100% clinical. You graduate, you associate for a couple of years, or you go into private practice immediately.
Yeah.
So the whole process is foreign to you, right? It's a new process and you're looking for support. So very familiar with Carr Healthcare Realty. We've referred them a number of clients in the past. We've worked on a number of projects with them. our businesses are fundamentally very different, which I'll explain. I also know George Vail, very sharp guy. He's been doing this for a long time. You know, has a little bit of a different business model as well. So, you know, George has probably been doing this for 20, 30 years, a very knowledgeable guy. He's not an attorney. He is essentially a real estate broker by trade, but highly experienced when it comes to dental. Definitely, you know, knowledgeable guy, and we've done deals with him and vice versa. And the way that George Vail's business model works is he'll charge you, call it, you know, a $250 kind of initiation fee. And then correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be off on the numbers, so don't quote me directly on the numbers. But I think what he does is he charges 5% or 10% of what he can save you.
Right. I think it's 5%. Right. I'm not sure if it was 5 or 10, but it's one of those numbers that he could save you and then he will make money off of whatever he saves you.
100%. And then what he'll do is when it comes to legal, he can give you some pointers, but he'll give you the right advice. He'll tell you, you know, get an attorney involved and let the attorney, you know, negotiate the legal terms and liabilities, right? That's kind of and that's really like the right thing to do. Here's the challenge when it comes to some projects with George, and then not in any way to disparage, because again, I think he's highly experienced and a good person. When you're opening a dental practice, you know, there's a number of financial parts of the deal that need to get negotiated, right? So rent is obviously one of them. That one's black and white, right? You want to get the cheapest possible rent per month, but rent is a term that not everyone understands how rent is actually determined. Rent is not just you're paying $20 a square foot, you're renting 2,000 feet, $20 a square foot per year. If you're on the West Coast, if you're in California, you know, Nevada, it's dollars per square foot per month. So let's just say $20 a square foot per year, 2,000 feet, it's $40,000 a year, right? Your rent is, call it, a little over $3,000 a month. However, most commercial leases, on top of rent, you have to pay for something called triple net expenses or operating expenses, which means you pay a percentage of property taxes for the building. You pay a percentage of maintenance on the building. You pay a percentage of insurance for the building. So what happens is, you know, George, that's one of the financial variables. And let's just call that rent. Like rent and triple net, let's just call that all rent to keep it simple.
Which is so different because I'm like used to, like when I think of like a lease, or renting, I think of like what I did in dental school. Like I rented the apartment.
Yeah.
And there was no like negotiating. It was just sign here. And
oh, for sure.
That's what I thought.
Here's the price.
Sure. Yeah.
And go and but you move on. Like, yeah. That's what you think of when you think
there's
like,
so many things. I mean, continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's so different. I was going to say, Sully, like when it comes to residential to commercial real estate, that is, you know, the analogy I'd give you is residential to commercial real estate is like comparing dentistry to veterinary medicine. Like it is so different, you can't compare. It's very different. So in the commercial world, everything is negotiable, right? In residential, they tell you the rent, you know, you want to rent an apartment, it's $2,000 a month, take it or leave it. And you can move in the first of the month. We need first and last months as a deposit, right? Commercial is, and there's a lot of law and legislation in place to protect residential tenants. Like there's rent control. Your rent can only go up by a certain percent per year so that people are not homeless because a building decides they want to charge $20,000 a month for an apartment instead of $2,000, right? In the commercial real estate world, the laws are generally designed to protect building owners in large part because building owners pay a huge amount of money to the government in property taxes. So the laws are in place to protect building owners. So in the commercial real estate world, it's like the Wild West. It's very different than res. But anyhow, Payman, getting back to your whole scenario, you know, George will take a percentage of what he can save you. So some of the financial variables of starting a practice is you have rent, including rent, operating expenses, maintenance charges, and so on. But on top of that, generally when you're starting a practice, the building is going to offer certain inducements to motivate you to move into the building. And what I mean by inducements is they'll give you a free rent period where you'll have access to the space to begin construction, but you're not paying rent, right? And that's a negotiable time frame. Like sometimes sometimes the building will give you 3 months free rent where you can design and build your office, but you're not paying rent for the 3 months. In most cases, when we're representing clients, we usually get our clients a 6 month free rent period where you get mm-hmm. 6 months to design, build your office, you know, make leasehold improvements, but you're not paying rent. On top of the free rent period, most buildings will also give you a cash incentive to move in. It's usually called a tenant improvement allowance or a construction allowance. And it could be a huge amount of money. We just completed a deal in New Rochelle, New York, outside of Manhattan, where the building gave the doctor $150 per square foot towards construction costs. It's a 2,000 square foot space. We got the guy $300,000 towards construction, which is like
how much of that?
Unheard
wow,
of, which is unheard
that's insane.
Of.
Yeah.
So how much of that depends on like areas that are like high?
Let me do, like, Sully, like, you got to think about it. It's basic supply and demand. If you're renting in Beverly Hills and you got 25 people who will rent the space with no cash incentive, the building's not paying a penny. If you're renting a space in Nashville where the space has been on the market for 4 months and there's no one calling who's interested, you're going to get a deal, right? So it's definitely case by case. But to put things in perspective, generally for most startup practices, you're going to get like a 6-month free rent period. And on top of that, most people will get kind of in the $30 to $50 per square foot range towards construction. But you have to look at it from this standpoint. Let's say you get George Vail involved. The building says, hey, Payman, look, we'll rent you the space. It's $5,000 a month. Are you interested? Payman says, I don't know what to do. Let me call George Vail and get him involved. And not George, but let's say anyone with that business model.
Right, anybody.
Where you take 5% of savings, right? I, George Vail, pick up the phone. I call the landlord saying, look, your space has been vacant for 6 months. There's a ton of vacancy on the market. There's a lot of space on the market. If you want my doctor to move in, you got to provide us with a 6 month free rent period. And you got to give us, you know, $50 a square foot towards construction. If you do the math, let's just say it's $5,000 a month. It's a 2,000 square foot space. They say, fine, Payman, we'll give you 6 months free rent, which means I, George Vail, just saved you $30,000. On top of that payment, we're going to give you $100,000 towards construction. So I, George Vail, just saved you in total $130K, not on top of what I'm going to negotiate in rent reductions, right? But you now owe me 5% of what I've saved you. So you now need to pay me, call it $6,500 because of what I've saved you, when the reality is the building probably would have given you that deal anyways.
Right.
And then
there's still some value.
No question. There's definitely huge value there. And then I'm going to tell you, hire a lawyer to actually lead the negotiations, right? So in some models that works, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it does, it's not good.
It's interesting when you say, because in the middle of all of that, I was thinking like, not now, but back then I was like, shoot, why didn't I start negotiating myself to get it to where I cheapest I could get them to come,
right,
and then hire somebody else.
100%.
And then I realized,
that would have been
yeah,
the play.
But that then I realized, man, these people, like, for example, George, or for example, shoot, I got on Google every day. I was searching and searching, and I was like, I'm going to find out how can I negotiate? Like, what are the ways to find out? And they were saying stuff about, okay, like, you got to say you want to get more space for your sign. Like, even to the level of where I didn't even think it mattered. Like, he would say things that out of nowhere, I would have never thought, or it wasn't on Google or anywhere. He would say, well, if they're going to do this, then you're going to go for that. So what I'm saying is there were so many things that this whole process was, first of all, challenging because I never had dealt with it, but at the same time, very, very interesting. But I was very happy that I found somebody or some help that could put me in the right place, like at least help me. So which is like 100%. If I do this again, before I even do anything, I'll make sure I have somebody who will be doing all of that for me.
100%. But look, you know what, Payman, you did something good by getting an attorney involved to lead the negotiations. Because guys, here's what I usually recommend for anyone starting a practice. Your first challenge is you want to find a location, right? And nothing wrong with getting a broker involved, a real estate agent involved to look for locations for you. Because guys, frankly, you don't want to waste your time driving around, going online, looking at listings. Like, let them do the legwork for you. However, what you don't want to do is you don't want the broker to lead the negotiations for you. And in large part because of how they get paid. So here's the ideal world, what I tell people to do is get a broker involved, let the broker drive around and find locations for you. You're not going to pay the broker a penny because the broker gets a commission from the landlord. The minute that the broker finds a property that you're somewhat interested in, immediately hire a lawyer or hire a firm like Cirrus and let us negotiate for you, because we're not getting paid by the building. The problem with having a broker lead the negotiations for you is very simple. When you work with a real estate agent, you as the tenant do not pay them a penny. they collect a commission that's paid by the landlord. The way that their commission is determined is pretty simple. It's based on either a percentage. The percentage could be anywhere from, call it 3% to like 8% of how much you pay in rent over the X number of years that you rent the space for. Or it might be a flat rate of $1 or $2 per square foot multiplied by the number of years you commit to the space for. So let me give you a scenario. You're renting a space, you're renting 2,000 square feet to start your practice. And for most people starting a practice, you're probably going to sign a 10-year lease agreement because of how expensive it is to build a practice, right? Most people are investing about $500,000 or more to start a dental practice. So yeah, the banks are looking for like a 10-year lease commitment, so the bank has predictability that they can get repaid the amount that they're lending you plus interest. So let's just say you're working with a broker, you're renting or leasing 2,000 square feet, you sign on for a 10-year deal, right? And let's just say you agree to pay $50,000 a year in rent. And let's assume your rent never goes up. You know, usually in commercial real estate, your rent goes up every year, right? Yeah. It goes up by 3% or 4% or 5%, yeah, depending on how the deal is structured. But let's just say it's $50,000 a year per year for 10 years, doesn't go up at all, which is unusual. But, you know, to make things simple, let's keep it that way. So you're paying $500,000 in rent over that 10-year period of time. In most cases, let's just say the broker's commission is $2 a square foot, which would be conservative. You're renting 2,000 square feet. They're getting $2 per square foot times 10 years. They're making $40,000 in commission. The more you pay in rent, the more commission they earn, which is the conflict of interest. But here's the other catch. The landlord pays the $40,000, right? But let me ask all three of you a very honest question. Who do you think is actually paying the $40,000?
We are.
100%. Because if I'm paying a broker commission and I'm paying, you know, Justin, the Cushman and Wakefield commercial real estate agent, or the Carr Healthcare Realty commercial real estate agent, and I'm paying that person a $40,000 commission, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm building that $40,000 commission into your rent over.
Yeah, that's what they did. With mine. I mean, that's what happened.
Plus interest.
And I was so mad. I was like, why didn't I just do it without the agent? Like, I could have just, but it's hard to find a place. It's hard to find
100% payment. Yeah. 100%. That's why I'm not suggesting don't have a broker involved. Yeah. What I'm suggesting is get the lawyer to lead the negotiations.
Right, exactly.
Because the lawyer's not getting paid by the building. Think about it. The person you're hiring to negotiate for you is getting paid by the other person they're negotiating against. How is that right?
The other problem is sometimes lawyers also charge you extra hours because they just want to keep continuing this process. I had to deal with them for another issue that they just kept going. I'm like, dude, stop. 100%. Like, that's fine.
And not only that, but the other problem is, to be honest with you, most lawyers have no experience in dental, right? It's not like you're just going to hire any run-of-the-mill attorney and just say, hey, look, I'm spending $500,000 to start a practice. I'm probably going to be in this location for 20 or 30 years. The way that this lease agreement is structured has broader legal implications to me, my family, my estate, my spouse. And I'm just going to get any attorney to, you know, run with this and negotiate terms. Like, you can't imagine, we represent every year, call it about 1,300 dentists across the country, right? And the way our company is structured, by the way, which makes us unique, is we're not brokers. We are consultants, but we have a team of attorneys in-house. We have a real estate team in-house, all of commercial real estate attorneys. And when we get involved, all that our people do is make sure the clients are well represented, not just in terms of negotiating financial, but negotiating legal. But the fact that we're able to do kind of every part of the process, from negotiating the financial parts and the legal parts, and we're not collecting commissions, it puts us in a good position to save you a huge amount of money. Right? Because if I call the landlord saying I'm not collecting a commission, immediately out of the gate, I'm going to save you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Right. How do you guys get paid then?
Same way you'd pay an attorney. We get paid by our clients.
Okay.
Right. And we have a couple of different ways we do it. Like, we generally either, depending on the project, we charge a flat rate, right? Or if cases are, you know, you don't need a ton of legal work, we'll charge by the hour. But for most people, we try to tell people to avoid hiring people by the hour. Because to be honest with you, it's unpredictable. I'm going to tell you our fee is $300 an hour or $400 an hour. You're going to say, how many hours does it take? I'm going to pull a number out of thin air and say, well, 10 hours, 15 hours. You say, okay, so we're looking at like $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000. Sounds good. I go through the process. We spend a month of negotiating, going back and forth. I say, Payman, look, I got you a great deal, but it's $15,000 in legal fees.
Right.
That's why by the hour is
up. I hate by the hour.
Mm-hmm. Right? Most people do.
Yeah, it's hard. How do you do, like, one of the things about hiring an attorney is, for example, in America, like, I wanted somebody here in Nashville who knows the law and legal stuff, like property tax and all that stuff within Nashville. So one of the good things or perks about the guy who I hired, they knew this landlord so much, and he's done so many deals with them that they know, like, this guy knew what they're going to go for and what they're not going to go for. So he's like, hey, here, they're not going to go for that because I've already done 10 of these. So how do you manage it being for how many dentists or how many states that you guys manage?
So very, very simple. So number one, all negotiations these days, our corporate office is downtown Toronto. We do a couple hundred deals a year in Toronto. Let me ask you a question. How often do you think I actually meet face to face with a building owner? Never. I'm talking to them the way I talk to you guys right now. Phone, fax, and email. And why? Because it also needs to be done in large part by email, so there's a paper trail. Instead of you get into hearsay where I say, guys, in a conversation on the phone, you said this. They say, no, we never said that, right? That's why a lot of legal work is there's a ton of paper and there's an email exchange. So I don't need to be in Nashville. I don't need to be down the street from you guys to negotiate a lease and make sure you're properly represented, because the legal parts of it are absolutely the same all across the country, right? You could hire a Wall Street, top Wall Street real estate attorney, and they can negotiate a lease in any part of the country. And they could probably do a better job than 98% of other local people, right? It's just about getting people who actually understand dentistry, right? And unfortunately, there's very few people who know dental.
My CPA is in Maryland. You know, I've gotten to the point now where I just don't think in this day and age it matters at all where somebody is.
True.
Because the laws are not
100%. But I'll tell you one thing that's interesting and one thing that is relevant in terms of being local. The one benefit of getting someone local is they know the market. Yeah, they'll say, hey, look, I know that area. It's up and coming. There's a lot of development. Like, it's a hot market. You know, you're going to have to pay for what you want because it's a hot commodity.
Right.
Which you're going to figure out, frankly, pretty quickly anyways, because when you start negotiating and they're like, no, we don't have to, then, you know, it makes sense. It's not like it's rocket science there.
Right. But Sully, not even that, but everything is digital these days.
Yeah.
There's everything.
I don't even get in my car or drive. It's called the internet. And we license information, and we have a proprietary database internally. We've been doing this for about 25 years. We've negotiated, and this is like a guesstimation, but I would have to guess we're probably in like close to the $15,000 range in terms of how many leases we've negotiated for dentists in the last 25 years. And anytime we negotiate a lease, it's not like we take the paper, throw it in the trash, and we're done. We have an internal like CRM, like customer management program that we use. We input all of the data from rental rates, increases, what the buildings are giving you. We track everything, right? So I can look at, like, in Nashville alone, we probably do, call it 20, 30 deals a year in Nashville. And we've been doing that for 20 years. So we track what all of these practices are paying in rent. So instead of just looking at what is the restaurant a block away paying, I'm looking at what are your colleagues, what is your competition actually paying?
Do you guys also do the research for the prospective client, or
we do everything?
Okay.
So say I graduate. I want to move to Austin, Texas.
Which is awesome place where a lot of people
place.
Are
so I thought about thinking move there.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird Austin.
Very, somewhere like that.
Weird down there.
Yeah.
At what point does someone call you?
Ideally, like before they do anything.
So then you're going to help them find the spot.
Not even that. You know what, Sully, you call me and you're like, hey, look, I'm a new grad. And this happens all the time. I'm a new grad. I've been practicing for a few months, a few years, and I'm ready to branch off and do my own thing. Before I start even connecting you either with a local space finder or doing the research on our own, because we license the information, like I have access to everything on any information a local broker will have, I have access to. We license the information. I have everything that they have and then probably more because of our own proprietary database over the last 25 years that we've built. But the first thing I'm going to say to you, Sully, is let's talk a little bit about your vision, because you might say to me, hey, Justin, look, here's what I'm planning on doing. I'm moving to Austin. I'm doing this. I have all these grand ideas. And the reality is, I take this with a grain of salt, but you may not be ready for it.
No, don't kill my dreams, JD.
Right? No, look, definitely not. But like, we're very real with people about these conversations about, look, here's the financial obligation you're going to have to take on. right? And do you, what kind of credit do you have? Like, have you gone through the process of getting approved for financing?
Those are great questions to ask. Yeah, that people aren't getting. Well, then my big thing too is the hard part is like is that there it's hard to find unbiased opinions. You know, because even when you start to go through a Henry Schein or a Patterson or whatever, you know, you start to all of a sudden. People are in bed with other people. And honestly, the podcast has really shown us that more than we had no idea, I think, when you start to realize how political things can be. And so it is tricky. And there needs to be somebody that's helping you give some unbiased opinion or opinion you're paying for, which like I'm a huge believer in that. So that makes sense. It's calling you early. I like that, though.
Yeah, and Sully, like my philosophy, I've been with the company now for almost 8 years. I manage our consulting, legal, and leasing departments. Globally, but globally really means like North America and a little bit of business in Australia, which don't ask how that all happened. Actually, it was because of Dental Hacks. We did a Dental Hacks podcast and all of a sudden they apparently have a lot of followers in Australia and all of a sudden we started doing business in Australia.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
But anyhow, our philosophy has always been, we're all about giving you the brutal, straightforward truth.
At what point does it come into the question of like buying a place versus leasing?
A lot, man. And probably I would say more than half of the conversations we have, it just depends on the market.
So how are you paid? Because that ultimately comes back to a lot of this stuff because versus how are y'all paid?
I get paid by the client. So I was explaining to payment before, you know, we either charge a flat rate or we charge by the hour. It just depends.
How do you decide which one you're going to do?
You know, we give the client the option.
Okay. So what's a typical flat rate?
It really depends. Like I would say on average for most clients who get us involved, you're probably in like the 10K range.
And then on an hourly rate, you're going to probably be similar. I'm guessing.
Yeah. It honestly, like to be honest with you, it really does depend. Like I usually don't tell most people to do it by the hour, unless it's like a very simplistic lease agreement. That's like a 2 or 3 pager, very limited legal work.
They've found everything. They already know what they want, where they want to be. It's just simple negotiation.
Exactly. But like we believe in just being honest with people and saying, look, here's what you're looking at. Here's what you're going to get. Here's what the process is going to look like.
Well, and I personally like the flat fee things because I think that takes unbiasedness out of it. Because if it makes sense that you say, hey, you know what, at the end of the day, you should buy this versus leasing this, then
100%. Look, most people do. But it also depends on the market, right? Like if we're in some of the major metro markets like San Francisco, Manhattan, downtown Miami, like buying real estate is not really an option.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Nashville.
In Nashville, 100%. Dude, in Nashville, 100%. I would talk to you a lot about buying a property. But the second thing I would do is if you said to me, I want to buy a property, my next question would be, what do you know about running a property? Because owning a property is not just about collecting a rent check or just paying down a mortgage. It's about there's a difference between active versus passive property management. What most people who don't know the first thing about real estate do is that they're passive property managers. Passive meaning all you do is either it's a freestanding property, you have no tenants, or you have one tenant and you collect a rent check and that's the essence of what you do. That is not the ideal way of being a commercial real estate investor. If you want to buy real estate as an investment, you want it to cash flow, you want it to be profitable, and you want the asset itself to increase in value year over year. That is where active property management comes in. Let me give you a perfect example. A few friends of mine who are, you know, now business partners, we bought a building a couple of years ago. Small, dinky property, you know, a triplex, dilapidated, falling apart, but the price was dirt cheap and we scooped it up. The first thing that we started doing was we went to market to try to get some tenants in the building because the building was completely empty, which is part of the reason we got a deal on the property. We ended up getting one good tenant that we had to give like an arm and a leg of a deal to just to get them into the building. But because we got that one good tenant, we were able to get the rest of the building rented out. As soon as we got the building rented out and had like well-structured lease agreements in place, we invested $250,000 into fixing up the property. Just like resurfacing it, repainting it, putting in new windows, new electrical systems, making it handicap accessible, or ADA compliant, Americans with Disability Act compliant. 18 months later, we flipped the property and essentially made a 7-figure return within, call it 18 months of the property, of buying the property, not just because we got the property rented, but because we were smart with the improvements we made to the building, right? So Sully, when people say to me, hey, look, I want to buy a building, if your play is to be there long-term, it might be a great opportunity for you. But the second thing we have to talk about is, number one, the affordability, right? Like, how are you stretching yourself thin? And secondly, do you actually know anything about managing a property? Because I tell most people, if you want to buy a property, don't just buy a freestanding property where in 10 years when you grow the business and you need more space and there's now nowhere to go except for moving. Buy a property where there's multiple tenants who are paying off your mortgage and you have absolutely no occupancy costs because other people are paying the cost for you. That is the ideal scenario. The problem is, for most people starting out, unless you've been practicing for 10, 15, 20 years, you can't afford it.
It's interesting because a lot of these things now, going back to the contracts, or for example, some of this legality of going through the process. For example, in just in my scenario, because I've only dealt with this once, but noticing for my contract was about 70 some pages long, right, to where it had, from anything you can tell and think of, they had written down, and there were so many specification and little things that I had no idea, to where that's where I led my attorney to look at it and, hey, tell me like, hey, what do you think about this and that? And, right, and so when it comes to your experience and dealing with this, how would you say, because to me, even up to this now, every month I go and I pay like all these CAM fees, right? These like fees that they charge you, and it just keeps going up and higher and higher. And then I go back to the contract and it says it, for example, like at a specific spot that, hey, you got to do this, and that's how much it's going to be. So in a sense, what I want to say is to this, that to a lot of folks that are looking to do this, please, please do not do it yourself or think that, oh, I can just read over this stuff. It is like, you definitely need help, and it's, internet is not enough to just help you, because there is just so much stuff that I can just think of. Every day I'm looking, like I said.
But you know what? You've been through it, so you now know. You can't imagine how many doctors we talk to just say, look, we want to do this on our own. You know, we think we can do it. We're well educated. Let's take a crack at it and see what happens. And I try to explain to them, like, guys, when you negotiate a lease, it's a lot more than just negotiating rent. Like, CAM is one of them. Like,
rent is nothing like compared to all the stuff you think about. Like, rent is the last thing I'm worried about.
No, but
it's all the other stuff.
But Payman, you're talking from someone who's done it now, who's had some experience. Let me just share, guys, briefly a quick kind of case that we just took on. Yeah. And I'll keep it short and sweet. We worked on a project. We completed negotiations a little over a month ago in Burlingame. Burlingame is like just outside of San Francisco. And the long short of it is, 60 something general dentist practicing for decades, for a lot of health reasons, forced into retirement, finds a buyer, has a conditional deal with the buyer to buy the practice, approaches the landlord to ask the landlord for permission. There was 4 years left on the lease, to ask the landlord for their permission or consent to transfer or assign the lease agreement to the doctor buying the practice. Landlord tells the selling doctor they will only consent to a transfer of the lease if the doctor agrees to pay a 50% premium on the rental rates. The rent for that practice was $14,000 a month based on 4 years. Do the math. Or alternatively, the landlord said the second option is pay them 25% of the proceeds on the sale of the practice. Practice was being sold for $1.8 million. And I will tell you guys, we work on, 1,000 plus cases a year. That's not a rare scenario for us to see. That was an extreme scenario. That was a pretty bad, 50% premium on rent, 25% of proceeds from the sale. That's very extreme. I would say probably a half a dozen times a year, we see cases where landlords say, X premium on rent, it could be a 10 or 15% bump on the rental rates, or pay us 1 or 2 or 3% of what you sell your business for. And we see that multiple times a week. And why? Because the lease wasn't well, and in large part because the lease wasn't well negotiated, or the lease was negotiated by an attorney who had no experience in dental and didn't know the first thing about making sure the lease was structured to protect the practice and the dentist. Right. So our advice is, to your advice, no question, do not do this on your own. It's like me saying, look, I have some type of tooth decay. I need the tooth needs to be extracted. Let me pull out some pliers and rip it from my mouth, because it'll save me $1,200 instead of getting you to extract it and place a crown.
No, it's so true. I mean, like, the more you talk, all these stuff that I remember from these contract stuff, like, for example, one of the quick things is like tenants improvement. So if you improve the property, which I spent about $600,000 and I got $100,000.
They own the improvements.
Yeah. So like they give you all this, the tenants improvement was $100,000 and I spent so much, but you have to make sure when you are selling the practice or when you are, say, for example, if I wanted to go somewhere else, some of that property had to stay within the 100%. Property. So like we had to go back and say, hey, part of that, like that's mine. Like if I spend this, this has got to go. So there was just so many things that you can't think about where it comes to be a big, big problem. Because I mean, you said it best. I mean, any offices right now cost almost $500,000, and that's a lot of money. And so many people got to get involved. So it's not about saving $5,000, $10,000 in a whole 10-year contract. I probably have to pay another like $1 million.
Honestly, in the grand scheme of things, like we try to tell people, because look, like, and a lot of times we tell people, depending on the case, our flat rate might be $10,000. And I'll tell you guys openly, a lot of people have sticker shock. They're like, wow, like that sounds like a huge amount of money. And then I try to break it down for them saying, guys, look, let's just say you practice for 20 years in your space. We're talking about, it's going to cost you $40 a month. Do you think if you're getting a professional to negotiate for you, I can save you $40 a month in rent or cost? I'm going to save you $400 a month in rent and costs. So, and you're getting a pro to do this, and you do it once. You don't do this every 2 years. But guys, part of what we do, and this is part of the way we help the dental community, is we tell everyone, if you want to get help, we'll take a look at your lease for free. Like payment for you, if you want to have the litmus test, you know, you had an attorney negotiate the lease for you. If you want to send me a copy of the lease agreement, I will take a look at that lease agreement for you for free. We can do like round two of the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
We can go through your lease together and talk about all the legal issues that were overlooked by a quote unquote experienced attorney.
You should, because this guy or all the people that told me that they done this is for like, they did it for professionals and they that's what they do. But now I notice there's so much stuff as I've talked to a lot of colleagues of mine that they got a better deal because they had some other things that like they got more of for their money that I did. And it's, and, but I mean, it's again, I'm happy that at least I went with somebody.
You at least had someone help you. That was the key. But look, if you want to see the real litmus test of someone who knows dental versus, you know, a run of the mill, you know, I don't want to say that's you know, kind of not a right way of putting it, but just like getting a kind of a general attorney, general counsel, or having a broker lead the negotiations, we can do. Send me a copy of your lease either way. I'll take a look at it. And also for everyone listening, if anyone wants to get a lease review, you can get in touch with us. We will take a look at the lease completely for free and tell you, are you overpaying in rent? And legally, what are the issues that you might need to be aware of that should be corrected or renegotiated to protect you, your family, and your estate?
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, if you do that for free, that's for amazing. Because I mean, I would have done it for in free. No beat.
Then like, you kind of know right out of the gate, like, oh, they can save me money. This is like,
yeah.
Not only that, but guys, like, you know, a perfect example, you know, we worked on a case in 2016, actually involving Carr Healthcare Realty. And interestingly, it was in New Mexico. I spoke to the guy, the doctor starting his first practice says to me, look, like we've been through 3 months of negotiations. From what I've been told by the agent, this is the best deal it's going to get. I was like, no problem. I was like, look, I'll take a look at it for free. I'll give you my opinion if you want. No problem. He sent us a copy of the lease. The first thing I noticed is the rent is $18 a square foot. I have our leasing team internally do research on the property. The rent in the area was $12 a square foot. So I'm like, okay, so it's a little bit above market, but maybe it's because it's like the most grand slam, unbelievable property of all time. I then look at the property. The property is like built in the 80s, older property, nothing special, and half of it is empty. So then I'm scratching my head thinking, why is this doctor being charged $18 a square foot when every property in the area is 12? I call the doctor back. The doctor says, look, I really appreciate the advice. No one told me that. But from what the agent has told me, we can't get anything better than 18 a square foot. I told the doctor that is BS. He's getting sold a bill of goods. And I said to him on that call, I'm like, let's call the landlord's leasing agent right now. I'll put you on the phone. You'll be on the phone, but mute your phone. I'm going to tell them I'm your brother-in-law and I'm helping you. And let's see what we can do. Literally, kid you not, less than a 20-minute conversation. I said, guys, look, We love your property. We love to move in, but we're talking to another property down the street. They're offering us the same 6 months free rent you're offering us. They're offering us the same $50K towards construction you're offering us, but they're charging us $12 a square foot, not 18. On that 20-minute phone call, we got the rent reduced from $18 a square foot to $14 a square foot. That saves the doctor over the 10 years, $65,000. It was a 20-minute phone call.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's easy money.
Right.
No, I mean, it's so important. It is so important. And I hate it for when I see some of my friends are like, oh, dude, that's so easy. I can just do it myself. I'm like, no, there's so much goes on with it.
And the more expensive something is like that, the more opportunities. That's the thing.
Yeah.
When you're talking about that long of a time period and that expensive and that big of a deal, there's so much area for value to be, you know, in it.
Oh, man, 100%. You're spending. Think about it like this. Most doctors starting a practice are going to spend upwards of $500,000, if not more, to build their practice and equip the office, right?
Mm-hmm. So there's tons of room to save money there.
So much.
Huge, huge. But think about it like this. You spend, let's just say, 10 grand to negotiate a lease. It's cost you $40 a month. There's a contract that you're signing that's going to impact you and your family for the next 10, 15, 20 years, including potentially, you know, your spouse and children, because usually for most leases, there's personal guarantees. Meaning if you default, they go after your personal assets. And you're debating spending $40 to get a good deal, protect yourself legally, and protect your family. And that's what you're debating is $40 a month.
How are most people paying for that? Are they using part of their
loan money?
Loan money from like the...
Yeah, 100%. Okay, it's one of the soft costs. You build it into your loan.
Because I think that lessens the sticker shock a little bit, because
if
you graduate and you're like, well, crap, and then, but you know what, it's 10 grand in the bank to just throw down.
Yeah, but like you have to look at it from return, right? It's like you spend 10, save 50. It's a no-brainer.
No, right? I 100% agree.
But the other part of it is like, we don't only work with startup doctors, right? Like that's a third of our business. The other majority of our business are working with doctors who are established business owners who've been practicing for 10, 15, 20 years, have been operating under this one lease forever, and want to make sure, number one, they're getting a good deal financially in terms of rent, but also see if there's anything legally in the lease that they should be aware of that might impact their ability to retire or sell the practice, or might, you know, expose their family or estate to risk and liability. We tell them, you spend 10, or you hire us by the hour and you get this done properly. And we show them in that free call with them, when we take a look at the lease for free, what the savings will be. It's a no-brainer, right? But that's part of the reason we tell everyone, get in touch with us and get a free lease review. Like, there's literally no harm.
All right.
It's a free lease review.
So my last question as we wrap up here is, what if someone's like payment, like they've already have a lease and they've done this, are there abilities to renegotiate leases? Can you do that?
1,000%.
Like, for example, meanwhile, what he said, like my landlord is now, I think they're selling it to another developers, like, because this is a big property. But like, what if that happens? Or is there a negotiation thing? Or what does that look like?
So when buildings are sold, generally, the new building owner needs to assume the lease agreement. They can't just like take your lease and throw it in the garbage and say, look, I'm the new owner, so too bad.
Yeah.
Right. But it also depends on how your lease is structured. So that's why payment, like, definitely send me a copy of your lease and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Especially if the building's potentially being sold.
Yeah, it is. It's $55 million. That whole thing is going to be sold. So I'm like, shoot.
Now, send me the lease, man. I'll definitely give you some feedback. But Sully, to your question, 1,000%, like a good chunk of our business, I'd probably say 60%+ of our business is renegotiating lease agreements for guys who've been in business for years and signed the lease, you know, years ago. And what I try to tell people is, if your lease agreement is expiring or coming up for renewal anytime within the next 2 years or less, we can renegotiate your deal. If your lease expires in 7 years, probably not much I can do, because the building is not going to touch a contract when there's 7 years left on the contract. If the lease is coming up for renewal or expiring within 24 months or less, 1,000% we can renegotiate your deal financially and legally.
Mine's 9 more years.
Okay, no renegotiation for you right now.
That's all good, man. Payment, you're going to send it to me, but
yeah,
in the interest of time, we can definitely do a round two.
I'd love to. Payment,
if you're open to that, guys, Payment, I'd love to do round two, man, where we'll go through your lease together. We'll talk about some of the legal items. it'll be a great
it is because here, honestly everybody. As I'm thinking, I get so many messages from people saying, how did you look for the property, how did you see, like I'm talking Facebook, Instagram, like Snapchat, and people ask, and a lot of folks like me and my age group that are looking for things, and they're like, how was the first step, what did you start? So I think looking at the contract and bringing, because it's going to bring up a whole lot of ideas and questions, where that like one of the things was like, I need to park in my parking spot. So in part of my contract said that I could not park in a parking spot that I'm paying rent for. Like it was things that I didn't even think it bothered, like it mattered. But then they found out and caught it that, hey, if he's paying rent, he needs to be able to have a spot for himself or his staff. So there are so many things, and I love to bring that up to you, where you could look at it and talk about it.
Would love to.
Yeah.
Would love to. You send me a copy of it, man. We can do, I'll take a look at it. We can set up round two.
Sure.
And go through it with everyone. But, you know, and Sully, you know, really appreciate you putting this together. One thing I just want to leave as kind of a closing comment to everyone who's listening is, if you want to have a conversation about real estate, about starting a practice, about transitioning, about renegotiating your lease, about expanding, remodeling, relocating, anything going on, get in touch with us. We'll have a call with you. We're not going to charge you. We'll take a look at the lease. It's free. It's not going to cost you anything. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us toll free. We have a 1-800 number. It's 1-866-739-9075. I'll also give out my direct line. Anyone wants to call me, you can call me directly, 647-789-3236. And we will very happily help you.
And we're going to put all that information on the website as well, so that way they have it while they're driving, because they're probably driving right now. They might not.
Yeah, and Sully, you have my details, like all of my personal details, my office, we'll my cell line. Yeah,
post it all.
Put it all there, man.
All good. Over there.
Big JD, dude, thank you so much.
My pleasure, man. Guys, I really appreciate it. And payment, love, send me a copy of your lease, man. I'd love to do round two and we'll go through it together. Love
yeah, it. I would. Yeah, fun. For sure.
We'll do it again.
Thank you so much, JD.
My pleasure, boys.
It's Cirrus. How do you say it? Cirrus?
Cirrus. C-I-R-R-U-S. Cirrus Consulting.
Cirrus Consulting.
Don't ask about the name. One of our founders is a pilot. So it's like the Cirrus Clouds.
Ah, so I reckon, are you Stratus? Cumulonimbus. I remember Cirrus Clouds, so I'll give him that. All right, everybody, we'll check it out. Cirrus Consultants. Go and call big JD here. Give him a call. And other than that, man, I'm so excited to kick off a great year.
It's gonna be an amazing year.
Of things happening. So
really happy.
Thank you all for listening, and everybody remember to work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.